Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now onto the episode. Before we get into the episode, I just wanted to share some exciting news. I'm in the process of developing an app which includes a free protein tracking tool. Similar to other apps where you can track your protein, carbohydrates, fats, and calories, my version of this app will be for protein only. And the reason for this is because over the years, so many of my clients and myself really just wanted to know how much protein we were getting each day, because protein is the number one nutrient or food group where most of my clients are falling short, and the number one nutrient to make sure we're getting optimal amounts of, especially as we move past 40. But a lot of my clients didn't want to see their calories or track other macros at the same time. Some said that it could be quite triggering because they were brought up, you know, in the typical dieting era of the 80s and 90s, and they maybe had a history of being obsessed with calories, and this is something that they just didn't want to have to look at every day. So many people asked, is there just a way that I can track protein only? So I'm hoping to answer this problem with my app. And in November, I'm looking for as many people as possible who'd be willing to test it out over a period of about 2 weeks and provide feedback. And then we'll continue to develop the app based on your feedback. And it should hopefully be ready to go live in early 2025. So if tracking your daily protein intake is something that's important to you, which I really hope it is, and you'd be interested in testing out the app in November, then you can sign up to be a beta tester via the link that I'll put in the show notes. You can also find this link in my Instagram bio if you're following me over there. Okay, now on to the episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast with me, your host, Francesca. So in today's episode, I wanted to talk about some of the foundational pillars for a much smoother ride through the hormonal chaos that is perimenopause. And these are essentially there's sort of four main ones, and then there's some sub ones, which we'll talk about afterwards. But these are really the foundational pillars of health, you know, anybody's health generally, for somebody to thrive in their health, but also in their like general well-being, their emotional, mental health, everything. So of course they do apply to everybody, but they're just so foundational for our transition as we move sort of through perimenopause and then finally reach menopause, but then our whole entire life after menopause, because we do still have quite a number of years after, you know, once we are in postmenopause, that's a whole other phase of life. So we want to move through it healthily and happily, but we also want to experience it later healthily and happily as well. I mean, I definitely do. So just to sort of recap, because obviously I talk about this probably every episode, it's hard not to, but the change in brain to ovary communication that starts from our late 30s creates changes in estrogen and progesterone output. So as I said, I've talked about this so much, but specifically progesterone declines, estrogen goes on its erratic roller coaster. Estrogen isn't actually at consistently low levels until late 40s, so basically late perimenopause, just before we're about to go those 12 consecutive months without having a period and reach menopause. Before that stage of perimenopause, estrogen can be higher than it's ever been before in your previous cycling years, and it's erratically fluctuating between being sky high and super low. And that erratic fluctuation, you know, it's physiologically demanding on us. And because we have receptors for progesterone and estrogen on the cells of every organ system of the body, including the brain, when their levels start changing and going chaotic, like progesterone decline, estrogen's chaotic, really high 1 minute, really low the next minute, and then consistently lower later in the perimenopause phase, the symptoms start to present in so many different ways. We feel the effects of the hormone chaos emotionally, physically, cognitively. So, you know, we're really thinking body temperature regulation, for example, we know is affected because that brings about those what's known as vasomotor symptoms. So that's the hot flushes and the night sweats, because the body's thermostat gets knocked off because all of that starts in the brain. So if those receptors for estrogen and progesterone in the brain aren't getting what they need, or they're just getting this mad fluctuation, that is going to knock your ability to regulate your temperature. So many different symptoms can come up. So also we know heavier period flow, clotting, flooding, cramping that you maybe never had before. I get cramps now just before I come on my period. I never used to be, you know, some people obviously know lots of women who even through their 20s and 30s always unfortunately suffered with cramps and painful heavier flow. But I wasn't one of those people at all. My period just used to come and it was pretty average and then go. But now in my 40s, I'm getting all of that. I'm getting the cramping, I'm getting the clotting and the flooding. Periods eventually become irregular in that like mid to later stage of perimenopause, so mid to late 40s. I've talked about this in detail in episodes 2 and 3. So if you want to really dive into that and you haven't yet, then do go back and listen to those. Weight gain as well, but particularly visceral fat. So these are examples of the physical changes. The type of fat, the visceral fat is a type of fat that wraps around your organs, and it can, if we have too much of it, we do need some of it, but if we have too much of it, it can raise our risk of heart disease and type 2 diabetes. So it's what's known as metabolically active fat. And in too high amounts, it can cause disease, basically, eventually. And that is one of the types of fats that naturally, unfortunately, can start to increase. But, you know, if left unaddressed, basically. We can also start to experience palpitations, feeling like we're having a panic attack. Because again, there's progesterone and estrogen receptors everywhere, and all our systems are feeling the effects of the declining progesterone, the erratic estrogen. Women can be told by their doctors that if it, you know, it's just stress or unexplained anxiety. If someone might go to the doctor saying that they're sort of suddenly having lots of palpitations, they feel like they're having panic attacks, nothing's really changed in their life, so they don't really know where it's come from, and they can be told, you know, this is just stress. You need to just go home and relax. And whilst, of course, that might be true to a point, it can be contributing. The root of it can be the hormone chaos that's amplifying anything else that was already there. So if there was already high stress, a busy, unbalanced life, and then we move into perimenopause with that, then this hormone chaos is going to amplify everything. We're going to be less resilient, and things like palpitations when we have those sharp drops in estrogen as part of the roller coaster, that can bring about palpitations and feeling like you're having a panic attack. Fatigue can be felt by in the body and the brain. So it could be, you know, body fatigue, where you just feel you're just feeling so wrecked, you know, way more than you ever used to, and nothing, again, you feel like nothing's changed. Brain fog, particularly brain fatigue, where you just, you know, maybe you feel so tired in your head that it brings on a headache, or you just feel like you have to close your eyes, even if it's just for a few minutes. And then that brain fog where you just can't find the words, you can't remember why you walked into this room or what it was that you were literally just about to do or say. And then, oh goodness, like if you're just about to get up and do something, off you go. If someone says anything to you, this is what happens to me. Someone starts talking to me, that's it. Like there's absolutely no chance I'm going to remember what it was I was about to do. Whereas before, that would never be an issue. I'd always know what I was about to do. You know, you might just feel like you can't focus or concentrate like you used to. Joint aches and pains, very common, where you might feel, you know, that in our sort of 20s and 30s, if we had a big workout, you know, big exertion or something, or an injury, we have a muscle and joint or joint ache or a pain. So we know why, like, oh, you know, it was that big workout I did yesterday or the day before, and I haven't done it in a while. But now it can be where we just have these unexplained joint or muscle aches and pains. And it's quite common for women to be diagnosed with fibromyalgia, because for example, the doctor may not have made the connection between the erratic nature of estrogen and the lows, or the lower level, the consistently lower level later perimenopause, that link between that and joint and muscle aches and pains. So, you know, some women would potentially benefit from starting body identical hormone therapy, maybe whilst they're still in perimenopause and they haven't actually got to menopause yet. If their levels are now so low that they're just really having a hard time with all of these symptoms that I've just mentioned, and there's lots more as well. But obviously, this is a conversation for your doctor. It's outside of my remit. And that being said, a lot of the symptoms are vague, they're overlappy, they're just like, they can be attributed to lots of other things. It's like this, because of the fact that we have estrogen and progesterone receptors everywhere, and obviously their change, their hormonal chaos that I've described so many times, is going to impact everywhere. So the symptoms, it can just be this big list of like, yeah, but that could also be due to that. That could also be due to that. That could be this. They all overlap as well. So we can't just say, oh, you know, every symptom is definitely perimenopause. But what we can say is that perimenopause amplifies any kind of previous imbalances, or it just can really just start to make things feel much more heightened. And that's why in my practice with clients, I'm always thinking about and looking at things like their blood sugar balance and insulin. I'm looking at their thyroid blood work, especially their thyroid, looking for any thyroid autoimmunity. There's a couple of markers that I'll do a whole episode on thyroid. But there's a couple of markers that should be included in that thyroid blood work to suggest, is there any thyroid autoimmunity? I'm looking at nutrient deficiencies and is there any anemia? Because I don't want to miss any of these foundational things and just sort of pin everything on, oh, well, you know, you're perimenopausal. We do also want to look deeper and see what imbalances are there. And that's where the four foundational pillars that I'm going to go through in a minute come into it. So yeah, perimenopause amplifies these things for sure, but it's not the only thing that could be going on for someone. And if we don't find those underlying imbalances, perimenopause, the hormone chaos of it just continues to amplify symptoms, and that person will just have a much harder time. So also a person with any pre-existing autoimmunity, like rheumatoid arthritis, for example, or the thyroid autoimmunity that they may not have even known yet. Any of that, the hormone chaos of perimenopause amplifies symptoms. So a lot of women will say they knew, for example, that they had rheumatoid arthritis, been in the family, and they were diagnosed with it many years ago. But they might find that when they move into perimenopause, so from the late 30s upwards, and definitely sort of mid 40s, that they're just having a much harder time with it. The flares are, you know, more frequent or worse. And again, because of this new hormonal chaos and having these estrogen and progesterone receptors everywhere, it amplifies those symptoms. And then there's also women who didn't know maybe that they had any autoimmunity, and then it kind of shows, you know, rears its head as we move through the hormone chaos. So we really want to be supporting, for example, the autoimmunity more than ever, basically, if a person already knows that that's there. So as I said, I've kind of alluded to, there are some key foundations of health that if we have them in place as early in life as possible, although it's never too late, we can sail through this decade or so of perimenopause, or whatever stage you're at. You could be listening to this in your mid-30s, your late-30s, your mid-40s, your late 40s. You could be post-menopause. It's never, ever too late to lay these foundations. It's going to have a really positive effect on your experience of life and your health, whatever stage you're at. But obviously, what I'm saying is the earlier, the better. So if we can actually lay them before we move into perimenopause, we can just sail through and find ourselves at menopause in a happier, healthier state than we'd be if we hadn't laid those foundations. But it is definitely never too late to do that. Whether somebody's using hormone therapy or not, and I'll definitely be considering it, or I will be doing so when the time comes for me to need to look into it. But either way, these foundations are still absolutely crucial. It's not one or the other. Having your hormones back, if you choose to go down that road, is just the icing on the cake, and health protective, very health protective. The healthier we are when we reach the perimenopausal phase, the better the whole thing is going to be for us. So like I said, it's never too late to start laying the foundations, because this is about longevity and not just getting through a certain phase or time in your life, but getting you through it and out the other end when you're then post-menopause and you still have decades of a good life to experience. And you want to be as healthy and as strong as you can be for all of those years. I definitely do. So before I get into the foundational pillars, let me just outline some of the biggest things that stress the body and make for a much rockier, sort of symptoms heavier perimenopause, and also impact our health and longevity way past menopause. So it's things like low protein meals, blood sugar swings, which low protein meals will cause, blood sugar swings usually caused by too much sugar, for example, in the diet, or refined carbohydrates. Lots of things go into blood sugar swings. I'll do a whole episode on that. Undereating, so low calorie diets, particularly low fat diets, nutrient deficiencies, particularly B12, iron, folate, B6, vitamin D, for example. These are ones that can be easily tested in blood work. Having an underactive thyroid, or Hashimoto's, which is the autoimmunity to the thyroid gland, which causes an underactive thyroid. Cortisol imbalances. If you go back to, I think it's episode 9, is the cortisol episode that I've done recently. Circadian rhythm dysregulation. So essentially not getting good sleep and not having a good internal body clock, biorhythms, basically the sleep-wake cycle, if that's out of whack. Having any chronic infections. So this is something a lot of people don't really know about. You know, you won't necessarily know. Certain symptoms can suggest it, but unless you're actually speaking to someone who really knows that, you won't necessarily be told that. So things like having chronic infections in the gut. So that would be parasitic infections, yeast, mold toxicity, pathogenic bacteria that's kind of taking a hold. Lack of proper hydration, definitely. So these are quite, you know, when you think low protein meals, lack of proper hydration, you can sort that out tomorrow, today. And fatty acid imbalances. This is something that people don't realize as well, is a low intake of the omega-3 fatty acids, for example, EPA and DHA, specifically found in oily fish, things like salmon, mackerel, sardines, herring, trout. Those are where that is the source of omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA. We can get some very minimal amounts of omega-3 from foods like walnuts, flaxseed, chia seed, but it's not in the form of EPA and DHA like we get in oily fish, and it's not in the potent amount that we get from oily fish. So when I say fatty acid imbalances, I'm talking about the ratio of omega-6 fatty acids to omega-3. A lot of people are walking around with a ton of omega-6 in their diet and no omega-3 in their diet. And when that ratio in the body goes off, it can create a situation of chronic inflammation and other sorts of imbalances in the body. So this is what I'm always looking at when I'm working with my clients. I'm looking at all these kind of things to address, and also in my the group work that I do. So I have the Empowered Perimenopause subscription, which is the Empowered Perimenopause course that people work through, and it's covering, you know, all of these things, how to look for these things, how to address them, and just that sort of educational piece about it, and then the support as we go through the course with the subscription, with monthly group calls to talk about it. So that is what I'm always thinking about. So let's look at the four big foundational pillars of health that basically would, you know, knowingly or not knowingly, address a lot of these things that I've just talked about. So there's four sort of foundational pillars, and then there's other ones. Once we've addressed and put those four pillars in place, we might then need to also start digging into some other ones afterwards if there's further things to be looking for, like chronic infections in the gut or mold toxicity or the fatty acid imbalances, you know, the cortisol imbalances, for example, the thyroid issues. So the four foundational pillars are: number one, blood sugar balance; number two, sleep and healthy circadian rhythms; number three, stress management and healthy nervous system; number four, nourishing muscle building movement and exercise. So essentially, blood sugar balance, sleep, stress management, and exercise are your four foundational pillars to be working on first. You know, some of you may tick, tick, tick all four or tick just one. Either way, we want to make sure that all those foundational pillars are in place. So as I said, this is what we go through in my Empowered Perimenopause course. And then there's layers deeper should you want to go there. And that would be good digestion. So digestive health and gut health, so important for more than you might realize. So for example, addressing underlying sources of inflammation that a person might be suffering with that's causing certain symptoms or amplifying certain symptoms. For managing autoimmune conditions, for example, gut health, so, so important. Digestive health, as in our ability to break down our food and actually absorb the nutrients from it, really, really important. And then the next one being good nutrient status. So the ones I mentioned a minute ago, B12, folate, iron, vitamin D. There may be other ones that we want to look at as well, but those are the sort of basics that can be looked at on blood work at your, with your GP, for example. And then addressing your thyroid, so making sure that's all good too. So we would do blood work for that to see what's going on there, making sure it's all good. If it's not, looking to address it. But the four foundational pillars of blood sugar balance, sleep, stress management, nourishing exercise. For example, if somebody already has a thyroid, an underactive thyroid, and they don't have good blood sugar regulation, good sleep, good stress management, good exercise, but then they go and get all of that in place, they may then find that their underactive thyroid is much improved. Whether they have, you know, quantitative evidence or not, is another thing, but that those four foundational pillars can really just start to address so many other things that were out of whack. Even if somebody has low levels of B12, for example, or iron and folate, and then they start eating a blood sugar balancing diet, but they also, because as part of that pillar, it's not just about how to balance blood sugar, but it's how to eat a nourishing diet. So that new nourishing diet where they've now increased their protein, increased the quality sources of protein and increased lots of other types of food that we would talk about within that pillar, then they may have just naturally addressed nutrient status. Again, whether they know that or not. So addressing all of these areas and getting things more optimal where needed. So definitely those four foundations, and then maybe also diving into some of the other three that I talked about, will make the hormonal chaos of perimenopause much easier. It will minimize symptoms and just make it a much smoother ride. And that's what's great about utilizing nutrition and lifestyle habits, because the same set of nutrition and lifestyle habits can address all of the areas. So whatever we're doing to get blood sugar balanced will have a knock-on impact to our ability to sleep well, which will have a knock-on impact to our circadian rhythms, which will have a knock-on impact on our stress, because blood sugar imbalances is a physiological stressor. Once we start managing our stress better, we can sleep better, we can regulate our blood sugar better, and so on. So the same set of nutrition and lifestyle habits can address everything. That's what's so great. Some people may need to go further, you know, do different things, or not necessarily different, but more than somebody else if they have, for example, autoimmunity or gut imbalances. So other system imbalances or pre-existing health issues to address now more than ever, as I said, as well as the gut and thyroid, would be looking at, is there any autoimmunity, for example, as well? Was it there before? Is it new? But again, that could be something that you could speak to your doctor about if you're worried, if you just want to get some blood work done. It's also very helpful to look into how your body is breaking down and clearing out your estrogen and other hormones like cortisol as well, because we actually go through a process of metabolizing our hormones once we've used them. So for estrogen and cortisol being examples, big examples, we need to break them down once we've used the molecule, and then we need to clear it out of the body efficiently. So I use something called the Dutch test with my clients and myself to assess it. It's a dried urine test that we can do at home and send off to the lab. I'll do a separate episode on estrogen breakdown and clearance soon, because that's definitely something that we want to be supporting, because even without testing. So for example, I've just mentioned the Dutch test, but it can be financially inaccessible for some people, or, you know, different times. Just simply knowing how to support the various pathways in the body responsible for breaking down your hormones and clearing them out is really helpful. If we know how to support it, we can say, right, I'm already doing those things, or I'm not doing that, let me do that as well. And it's basically through food and lifestyle habits again. So other things to consider once those four fundamental foundations have been addressed, and we've also maybe needed to look at gut, thyroid, are considering what's known as your exposure to endocrine or hormone disrupting chemicals, also called xenoestrogens. I've mentioned this before, I think in the previous episode and some other ones, and I'll do a separate episode on it as well, because it does need its own focus. But I'm basically talking about various chemicals in our modern environment and in our products that we use on a day-to-day basis that have been shown to take the place of real estrogen inside our cells when they get into the body, and cause havoc in the endocrine system of the body, the hormone communication system of the body. And they can be really problematic. They also add to the total load of estrogen in the body and drive things like fibroids, heavy periods, breast pain, and even estrogen related cancers. So they can be very problematic, and definitely something that we want to be thinking about. And I did talk a little bit more about them in the previous episode, but just for the purposes of this episode, I won't go into too much detail. So another thing as well is mold exposure, mold toxicity, or what's known as colonization. So we can be exposed to mold, but then it's also another thing as to whether it actually colonizes, whether that mold toxicity colonizes in the body and stays there. So for example, it can colonize in the gut, and that would show up as yeast if we did like a comprehensive stool test or urine analysis that would be looking for yeast metabolites, breakdown products of yeast. It can colonize in the nasal passages, in the lungs, for example, and it can cause some horrible symptoms. Not everyone will need to look at this, but some of you might. So if, for example, the four foundations are in place, you've worked on your digestion and your gut health, but you just can't find resolution in symptoms like maybe breathing issues, but also fatigue, cognition issues, headaches, for example, if you just can't find resolution, even though you've got all of those foundational pillars in place and, you know, you've made some really great changes and you have got some great results with regards to symptoms, physical, mental, emotional, but you just can't, you know, get rid of the sort of really bad fatigue, headaches, cognition issues, it could be that mold is something that's there in the background that you didn't really realize it was there. So for example, were you previously exposed to mold in previous homes or workplaces, and it has actually managed to colonize at that time in the body, and it's never been addressed, you've never known it was there, and therefore you've never done anything to actually get rid of it from the body, and there, you know, it could be left there causing symptoms. Or could it be current or new exposure where you live or where you work? Maybe it's not quite colonized, but the daily exposure to it is affecting you. So that can just be some place. Sometimes I'll have to go there with clients. And I've had to actually go there with myself a couple of years ago with some really, really horrible chronic fatigue that I was suffering with. And it did one of those kind of underlying reasons, one of them, because it was also due to burnout. But one of those, the reasons was mold toxicity that I had to address. So some people do have to go there, but not everybody. Definitely need to start with the four foundational pillars and then the other ones, and then just kind of see where you're at. And I will do a separate episode on it, because issues like mold toxicity, gut infections, so as I said, parasites, yeast infections in the gut, pathogenic bacteria, and SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, they can make perimenopause a much tougher ride. Again, it's about health imbalances, whether pre-existing or new, amplifying everything just that much more. And as I mentioned earlier as well, body identical hormone replacement therapy for estrogen and progesterone, it can be really helpful, and more so helpful for the health risk side of things, you know, that can result from lack of both of these really health protective hormones. Ideally, you know, I know it is natural that we lose them. We go into postmenopause life, but ideally we don't want to lose them, especially in our modern age where we are living longer and we want to live longer, healthier. We want to live much longer, but not dependent or in nursing homes. You know, we want to be healthy as long as we possibly can. And so putting estrogen and progesterone back into the body can be very, very helpful for particular health risks, namely the brain side of things, the heart side of things, and bone health are the kind of biggest ones, and also metabolic health. So there's kind of four really big reasons, health protective reasons for putting them back in. And I'm all for body identical hormone replacement therapy. Like I said, I'm going to be going there when I need to. But without first addressing these foundational aspects that I've talked about, the four foundational pillars, and then the other ones like gut health and thyroid, just putting the hormones in and not actually addressing the foundational aspects of health can only get you so far when it comes to symptoms relief, and also, you know, things like weight gain and body composition changes. And also the health protective benefits of them are great. Like I said, putting those hormones back in once we're losing them. But we're also going to protect our health even probably more so with these foundational pillars that I've just taken us through. So it shouldn't be one or the other. It needs to be that we're laying the health foundations. We're going layers deeper where needed. We're always maintaining our new healthier habits and making them part of our identity, our natural behavior. And then HRT if we want to do that as well. But that's a conversation, as I said, to have between you and your doctor, or you could seek a private functional medicine GP or doctor who specializes in body identical HRT. But we must take control of our own quality of life, and we absolutely can. The information's out there, but I do know it's really overwhelming because there's so much out there. Lots of it is so conflicting. We don't know who to believe. We don't know where to start. There's also loads of people unqualified talking about this stuff all over Instagram. It drives me mad, which is one of the reasons I don't even go down the newsfeed rabbit hole that much anymore. I just look at dogs, plants, travel. But there's so much being said out there about people who just aren't qualified to talk about it. And that can be really overwhelming and confusing as well, because you might trust these people because they're celebrities, for example, and they've, you know, they've been through it and they've written a book and they've made documentaries. And it's great that they've done all those things and they're raising awareness, or they've started a supplement company, for example. But we do need to know, like, who is truly qualified to talk about things and you know, certain things, and who isn't. Which is why when I talk about hormone replacement therapy, I'm only going to touch on it because it is outside of my remit. It's not for me to advise on it. It is for a qualified medical doctor to advise, not me. So that's why I've always wanted to do this podcast, because there is so much information out there. I know it's overwhelming. You don't know who to trust, where to start, what to believe. And that is why I've always wanted to start this podcast. It's been a few years now, since way before lockdown, and I finally got there. A couple of months ago, because I want a platform where people can listen to things that they can trust and they can believe, because I am qualified to talk about it, and I definitely do my continued research and professional development literally every day. Like, we have to, in order to stay in this profession, we have to be continually developing our knowledge and understanding. So basically what I'm saying in a nutshell is that your eating and lifestyle habits, they are your most powerful tool, and we really should be using them. The better your habits, the more resilient your body and brain will be to all of this hormone chaos of perimenopause, and your transition into life postmenopause will be so much smoother and easier. And so that is all I really wanted to say for this week. In future episodes, I'm going to go through the four foundational pillars. So the blood sugar balance piece, sleep and circadian rhythms, stress management, nervous system support, and nourishing exercise. Those are the four foundational pillars. I'll do an episode on each of them in the following kind of four or five episodes. But that's it for this week. So I hope you found this episode helpful. And if you have, I'd love if you could leave me a 5-star review on whichever platform you listen to your podcast on. It really helps the show to grow. It's the only way for the show to grow, is the more sort of reviews, or, you know, preferably 5-star reviews that I get. It's the only way that the show's going to grow and start to reach more people. I would really, really be grateful if you could do that. Of course, if you want to, and it is the truth. So I'll see you in the next episode. Have a great week. Bye-bye. If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.